Nantucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Hour number three begins right now. Text line 251-343-0106. I'm going to get through these texts. Keep up coming, guys. Apparently, we're getting more texts than I'm accustomed to, so I need to do a better job at speeding up the process. Joining us now, he is former chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, candidate for lieutenant governor, but John Wall joins us on the line. John, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. Well, your reaction, yesterday's court decision, what happened, and a fight that you've been involved in during your time as party chairman, what do you make of it?
I mean, look, absolutely. This has been one of the battles of our time period in the political, you know, the political landscape nationally, is redistricting. And you know, as state party chairman, you know, the party took a very aggressive role in this. Multiple briefs to the Supreme Court. You know, I'm talking about the fundamental issue at stake here, which is the fact that Alabama is not treated equally under the law constitutionally. And when I say that is, look, we all know what's going on. You know, states like Virginia are redistricting, California, New York. This is a political weapon that the Democrats use. Democrat states redistrict in their favor, and they use the power of the court system to try to limit their political opposition from being able to do the same thing. And for years, states like Alabama have been under that unfair situation. And I am so proud of the U.S. Supreme Court for recognizing that, for saying, look, no more of this. We need to stop looking at people based on the color of their skin. We need to stop this gerrymandering. We need to get back to the basics. Let states be treated equally under the Constitution and stand for some common sense. So this is a great ruling, not just for the future of Alabama, not just for Louisiana, but for the entire country, because that's what's at stake. It's a battle for control of the U.S. House. Let's be honest about what it is. This has never been about race for the Democrats. Never been about fairness. This is about control, and we have the opportunity to fight back and to have equal opportunity under the law.
Well, then what needs to happen from here?
I think the first thing is, from Alabama's perspective, is we need to go. We need to challenge it. There's currently under a lower court a stay saying that Alabama cannot redraw our lines until 2030. I am not content with that stay. I'm not content with that timeline. I think we need to be aggressive. We need leaders who are going to push back on that, who are going to say, no, look, the Supreme Court has set a new standard, and we want to be treated equal under the law. We want the same opportunities that Louisiana now has. And we want the same opportunities that states have had for years. And so we need bold leaders who aren't afraid to stand up and challenge the status quo. We aren't afraid to say, no, look, you know, let's do it. Let's go for it. We have that opportunity to give our state the opportunity to participate in the battle for the U.S. House, to fight for the citizens of Alabama, for their values. This is a Republican state, and we need leaders with the backbone to do it. And look, at the end of the day, that's why I'm running, right? I'm running for lieutenant governor because I think we need leaders who understand what's at stake and who are going to go out there and who are going to fight for the issues that matter most. And right now in our country, nothing matters more than control and power in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Well, the one thing that I'm very underwhelmed by is the governor's response. And, you know, you explained the justification that 2030 is what the court says, but that can be changed. It just doesn't seem to be a plan in place to get that underway. And look, there's still the need for a special session should the court reconsider. That, you know, how soon would we, how, you know, could we set some dates? Could we kind of get the ball in motion here? Time is of the essence. But there just doesn't seem to be any desire, any fire in the belly. It's very disappointing coming out of Ivy's office.
Well, look, I think this is across the board. We see this in far too many of our elected officials. There's a complacency. There's an okay with the status quo. And I think this is what we have to understand. The voting base knows this. They feel it. And we need our elected officials to feel the same thing. We're in a battle for the heart and the soul of this country. And it's a political battle, but it's deeper than that. This is a spiritual battle. This is a struggle for who we are as a nation. And we really need people in these positions who are going to understand that battle and have the heart and the passion to fight for good government and to push back against the radical left who have been forcing their agenda on us for years. We need the same intensity. We need more intensity than the Democrats, not less. We are standing on the values that made America great. We're standing on conviction. We're standing on fairness. We're standing on principle. And those should be the things that excite us, excite our elected officials, and excite our base more than the other side. So absolutely, look, at every level of government, we need leaders who are not afraid to be bold, who are not afraid to push and fight for the people of the state and the values that we stand for.
Well, but still, it's this that unfortunately circumstances are such that, we have to wait till 2030. And,
I don't want to accept that narrative. I think we absolutely, agree. I think the state of Alabama should be asking the Supreme Court right now, suing, standing on the 10th Amendment. There's several options you could take this of challenging that what I consider that unconstitutional, lower court order. I think we have a chance to get overturned. There's no reason to wait for 2030. Let's get it done. Let's get it done as soon as possible.
Well, let's talk about 2028. Now, Chad, I don't think that 20. I mean, she's only governor for 8 more months. I don't think it's her call, but she seems content with the way things are now. And is 2026 feasible? I don't think so. I mean, why not try? But certainly, we got to be looking at 2028. We got to get the map back to what it was, and we got to have some discussions. Do we go all 7 Republicans? Or do we go back to a 2002 map? What do we need to do instead of just, we'll just wait and see, because people are tired of waiting and seeing. This was an injustice. They got this one wrong. The district judge panel got it wrong. That's what the Supreme Court has said based on their opinion, that this needs to be reconsidered. And there just doesn't seem to be an appetite, not just for the governor, but for some very high ranking Republicans in the Alabama legislature.
Yeah, 100% correct. And look, you guys in the coastal area feel this more than anyone, because you had a community of interest ripped apart by this out of touch federal court. And you know the consequences firsthand. And I think the sooner we can get back to recognizing that this is why the Constitution left this up to the state legislatures and not federal courts. It's the people's representatives that should be making these decisions. And we need to get it back there, and we need people with a passion to fight for it, because this was a tragedy for the state of Alabama. And I think I'm also going to switch gears here a little bit and say I think you're right about the time frame. I don't think this is going to last till 2030, because I think when Tommy Tuberville comes in here, he's going to bring a fresh and a bold agenda, and he's going to go after redistricting immediately if it's not addressed before then.
Well, and here's the deal. If Kay Ivey's unable to or unable to or doesn't, I think there's something to this. We are willing to tolerate an absentee governor. We voted for her overwhelmingly. The administration has been on autopilot, and we're very forgiving in that regard, but we voted for it. But the time has changed since she was reelected in 2022. And there's a different precedent out there. There's a different set of circumstances, and it doesn't seem like she's even willing to acknowledge them.
Well, look, and this is not about Alabama anymore. This is about control of the U.S. House of Representatives and the future of our entire country. And we can't be complacent, and we can't be apathetic when it comes to fighting for the future of our country. And so this is probably the greatest thing that Alabama can do in the national fight for the heart and the soul of America. And I think that's why you're going to see Tuberville take that stand. I think it's why you're going to see him really fighting on this the second he's in there in governor. And look, he's going to need a lieutenant governor who has got that same fighting spirit and who's going to take that same bold position. I'll tell you right now, I will 100% do it. I think this is one of the biggest issues facing our state. We have that win in the court. I want to take it, and I want to immediately go and say, let's get Alabama on that winning side legally. let's get this opened up and let's get redistricting done for our state and the people of our state.
Right. And I know we made this all about KIV and her either ineptitude or unwillingness to act here, but how's your campaign going?
You know, look, I was telling somebody yesterday, I've always been for better infrastructure, but I have been never more supportive of getting Interstate 65 widened because I end up spending more time sitting in traffic on Interstate 65 than I do at home. But it's going very well. Busy. I'm getting out there talking with voters, and really, this for me, this is so much about good government. State party chairman for years, I was in the trenches fighting the radical left and fighting for good policies, for lower taxes, for less government, for better education for our kids, getting the woke agenda out. And, now I really am excited about the opportunity for lieutenant governor because I think I want to bring that same passion on all these issues that the people really care about and that don't always, they don't have a lobbyist fighting for them in Montgomery. I'm excited about the opportunity to go there and fight for these values that I believe in and that I hear every day from the constituents as I'm traveling around Alabama.
Yeah, well, and here's the other thing, and maybe our listeners aren't aware. I'm certainly not unaware, but you got the Trump endorsement. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously, I'm just a farm boy from Limestone County, right? I like to say there's nothing special about me except for the fact that I care and I love this country. And have a passion for good government. And so it's incredibly humbling for me to have the endorsement of the president of the United States. And I think it highlights and it really, it goes back to the fact that he knows that I'm a conservative fighter. He knows that I'm not part of the swamp. He knows that I'm not a career politician. I'm someone who really cares and is willing to fight. And that's what we need in government. I mean, look, I know not everybody agrees with Donald Trump in every area, but he is fighting every day in Washington, D.C. to stand for what he believes in, at least try to get past the deep state. And that's the same passion and that's the same resolve we need on the state level. And so I'm incredibly grateful to have that endorsement because I think it does speak to my heart and the fact that I want to bring that American first perspective, putting people first to Montgomery. So incredibly excited about it, talking about that every day out on the campaign trail about how we need to take government. We need to return the power of government from bureaucrats and from unelected officials back to the people and to the entrepreneurs who actually create jobs in the state.
And, we're going to have a new governor. I mean, he's kind of already governor-elect, Tommy Tuberville, the way things will probably shake out. New legislature, the next 4 years from 2027 beyond, what is the vision?
Look, for me, and I think Coach would share this. It's that I want to see Alabama leading the nation when it comes to conservative principles. I want to see us taking the lead. There is no reason that we have to follow states like Florida. Right. I saw Governor DeSantis the other day, and that's what I told him. I said, look, I'm running for lieutenant governor. I want to get Alabama where you got to follow us and not have us following you. And that's my perspective. I think there's no reason for Alabama not to be the leader nationally when it comes to fighting for people's rights and freedoms, getting back to the basics of government, protecting our children from the radical woke agenda, and really talking and representing the values of the people of the state. And that's improving education, better infrastructure, creating a business friendly environment. There's so many areas that we have so many opportunities. I know I'm biased, but I think the people of Alabama are the best in the entire country, and they are our best resource, and they will help propel us into the future if we just get government out of the way. And unleash creativity, unleash entrepreneurs, and get our state back to doing what it can do best, which is thrive.
Chairman, we got to leave it there, but we appreciate your time this morning. And folks want to find you online. Where can they look?
Yeah, well, on all major social media, John Wall for Lieutenant Governor. And then our website where they can sign up or learn more about what I stand for is votejohnwall.com.
I'll check that out. John, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Yep, good to be on the show.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town